Hello everyone, welcome to What If. My name's Gareth Vaughan Ike. It's a very Welsh name. Yours is?
Richard Alexander Willett, which is more of a very oldie British name, I would assume. Alexander the Great and all of that lot in there.
King Richard, Richard III.
Richard the Third, yeah.
Richard the Lionheart.
I don't think Richard the Lionheart was as nice as people claimed he was be, and I think Alexander the Great wasn't as great as people claimed it to be. It's the Victor always writes the epitaph, don't they?
I think if you've got to tell people that you're great, do you know what I mean? You shouldn't have to tell people, really. They should be able to make up their own mind.
Well, Muhammad Ali went on and on about it. He was all right.
He's dead now, isn't he?
Yes, he died about 4 years ago.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah. Cassius Clay.
Fortunately, he got Parkinson's disease.
He did. Yeah, which is weird because it means that you're a boxer, and as much as you want to box, suddenly you become sort of like a late night talk show host on British TV, which is just a real, it's like the weirdest disease.
It would be an awful disease to get, wouldn't it? That the only job you could do then was like interview people, a very kind of middle of the roadie interview as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's there 1 minute, like. You know, he's got George Foreman. He's going to have the Rumble in the Jungle. And then next time he's interviewing a pissed George Best. And he doesn't really understand why. Where's it all gone wrong, Mohammed?
Halfway through round six, a couple of chairs pop out and they just start talking about, like, grills. I don't know what's going on here. I think I'm ill.
George Formby grill. George Foreman, yeah. That's a Peter Kay joke. He's talking about his gran. He says, have you got one of those George Formby grills? That's the kind of thing my dad's mum would have come out with. Yeah, and my mum's mum, to be fair. They're both, you know, long gone, unfortunately. But I remember my mum's mum saying that she liked pompadoms once.
Yeah.
Pompadoms.
Yeah.
But then my mum ordered
Did you
a
correct
crap
her?
In France when I was a kid.
A what?
No, you never... A crap. She ordered a crap. When we were in France, when I was little, and I remember me and my sister absolutely howling. And then years later, I might have told you this story, me and a couple of other musician friends went down to France to play some festivals in a place called Nancy. And it was wicked. It was really nice. We stayed in this little village just outside. And it was literally like when the guy arrived to pick us up, right, he got our bags and he opened his boot, right, and the boot was full of baguettes, and it's like, this dude cannot be any more French, right, unless he's got a beret on. And when we arrived at his house, he had like loads of people out in the garden, and they were quite excited because like me and one of the lads had come from England, another lad had come from Scotland, and it was like, you know, people traveling quite a long way to play in their little sort of town or whatever. And so one of them had an England football shirt on, right, with Rio Ferdinand 5 on the back, which he'd obviously, like, just tried to find down the market so he could wear an England shirt to be sort of welcoming to us, which was dead nice. But he was a really big guy, like he was a unit. Right. And he was saying, oh, my wife is she runs a, like, the one of the stalls, one of the food stalls at the festival. You'll have to come and see her tomorrow, blah, blah. I was like, oh, mate, that sounds great. I'll hold you to that. Nice one. So the next day we're at the festival, played a set, went down a storm. It was really good. Yeah, really good. Anyway, he comes over to me, right? And he goes, get it? You have to come try crapping my wife.
Oh, yeah. So it was a good set.
Oh, well. But what was funny is then he's holding it, but he's one with Nutella in it, which I'll be honest, I would have chosen because a Nutella crepe is amazing. But you have to throw crap at my wife, and he's just pushing it towards me, and there's a crepe, and it's obviously covered in brown Nutella. And for a split second, my mind went, I'm not into that stuff. Oh, yeah, no, I get you.
Although...
Look at where you're going now.
Are you sure? Did you have any of the crepe on
his
wife? It was lovely crepe.
Lovely. Weird, though, because I've never had a crepe with Nutella that had sweet corn in it. But it was, yeah, it was fine.
You didn't really want a bit of toilet roll stuck to it. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of sweet corn this weekend because Ophie's been ill. Oh mate, I had
around,
a bucket
mate.
Next to the bed. She vomited all over me like half 3 in the morning.
Then
at one point I had to get up to go and like, you know, get her some water or whatever. I can't remember what it was. And I put my foot down. I put my foot in the, I say bucket, it's a washing up bowl, you know. but we got two washing up bowls, one for washing up, one for vomit. And I literally just put my foot in it and I just went... And I just squelched in the sick. I was like, I don't even care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
But sweet corn everywhere, because she loves sweet corn. It just doesn't digest, does it?
You ever look up to the sky and you think, you bastard. You bastard.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't. I think I might have even messaged, because Gemma was away, I might even use the phrase to her, I didn't sign up for this. Well, of course, I completely signed up for it. That's what happens when you make a kid. You absolutely
at that
sign
moment,
up.
You think these are bolt-ons. These are bolt-ons. We just had had a little boy having a massive meltdown. I had to put him into his room a couple of times. It wasn't even me. So the big one of the two had to go to his bed. I've been incredibly ill for the last 24 hours with a bright red eye, pink eye, as you can see on the video version of this podcast. And this is the second time in 2 weeks, been really, really ill for 24 hours. And I was interviewing your dad yesterday for a documentary coming out, and I looked like I'd taken up a middle, like, daytime chat show, a middle of the road chat show of my own, if you know what I mean. Halfway through that, there's lots of shaking going on.
What was the dog called? The white dog that had really droopy eyes?
Dipshit.
Can you remember it? It wasn't Deputy Dog, was it?
No. But Dipshit is what's coming to mind. It is. It's Deputy Dog.
Dog.
Droopy Eyes.
Droopy Eyes.
It was Deputy Dog.
Cartoon.
Wow. Mine
It's Droopy. It's literally the clue's in the name, isn't it?
We went for Dippy.
That's basically how your eyes look at
me. Yeah, it really do.
A little bit like Droopy.
That's exactly how I feel with the hair and everything right at the moment. That's how I'm walking around the house at the moment.
It's that look of fed up.
Yeah, I've had that look on my face for a few months now, or years maybe. But yeah, I'm walking around the house like that at the moment. Yeah, not happy about it. We had the washing machine leak this morning, the toilet leak this morning, and what else happened? Arthur sat on his potty, but also missed, kicked the piss across the floor, and something else happened. I blocked it out. But yeah, it's been one of those few days. But this is what we were going to do a podcast about, just being dads. But this would have been it. Every Sunday night, we would have just
would have just been two blokes moaning.
I think that would have done all right.
I think it would as well, because I think people like a good moan, and I think sometimes people quite like to listen to someone moan, because it makes them realise that there's other people whose lives are just as shit as theirs, and that's great.
Just in the topping, like, the rest is wonderful, and you know it's wonderful. You know how lucky you are, but you just like, can't I just be more lucky?
Continue, yeah, totally.
Like, you know, more consistent.
This is the thing as well, we've spoken about this before, is that there's different, like, I understand I have a privileged life in the sense that I have a wife and two children, and I have a house, and I'm looking out now the window over fields with horses and sheep in it, like, absolutely. But at the same time, you can still feel like crap, and people have obviously got it a hell of a lot worse, but you're still allowed to moan, because it's like I've said before, and I like, if I break my leg like I did, am I not allowed to moan because someone else broke both their legs in a car crash? And they're not allowed to moan because someone else got his legs blown off in Helmand. Do you know what I mean? It's like, where do you draw the line?
It's a sliding scale, isn't it? And when you step in a bucket of sick at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'd be a solid human being not to have a little moan.
Yeah, yeah. But it was funny, though, because Derby County got promoted at the weekend. The Newark Rangers won 4 games straight and swept, got rid of the Washington Capitals in the playoffs.
All bread and circuses.
All totally bread and circuses, yeah. But I like bread and I like circuses. And so it was like, on a sporting level, it was a great weekend. But I was also covered in vomit and sweet corn.
Which sometimes swings happens at a football ground anyway, doesn't it?
True, yeah. True. Swings and roundabouts.
Come on then, let's do the empty the dishwasher.
Yeah, head over to supremecbd.uk, use the code WTAF. You get 40% off everything. Gummies, CBD oils, and also these mushroom extract. What's that one? That's Changa, and that one's Lion's Mane. What's his name? Richard the Lion's Mane. 40% off, bargain.
And there's a code below. What code?
WTAF. What the actual feck?
Which you can see now on our cups that have just come out, our mugs that I've been using for a good 2 years. Out on Iconic Shop. Is it shop.iconic.com?
Basically, we've officially sold out now, haven't we? It started off as an organic chat between two lads, and now it's like we're like Del Boy and Rodney selling shit out of the back of a van.
It's basically QVC now, isn't it?
That used to be addictive, that channel. Like, you used to just watch it and there would just be crap after crap after crap. I definitely need a garlic peeler. Well, why do you? Because I do.
I tell you this, though, it's like, I've never known anyone who's bought... I know a presenter who's done it, and he says it's the hardest job he's ever done. But I also know someone who's addicted to it, and Sam's mum recently bought a doorstop big metal pig, 250 quid.
That's
and you
not
and
cheap.
You can see Keith, Sam's dad, going, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to do.
250 quid
for a doorstop.
Like, I understand.
Take,
like,
the fucking door off.
My dad went through a phase of, like, he'd just phone you up and be like, I bought you a bomber jacket. Thanks very much. Because he'd seen it on sale. And he'd go, Gaz is like that. And he was right, I did. It was fleeced. It was awesome. But that was like 8 quid. 8 quid for a bomber jacket. That's pretty good. Yeah, 250 quid for a metal pig to hold the door open.
I'm not even joking, mate. I'm not even joking. I couldn't even hide my disgust at it all. I had to go sit out the back. Because I'm like, I can't deal with that. Deal with that sort of behaviour. Anyway, let's get on to the what-haves. So that was a little one. Go on.
First Amendment rights. That makes me laugh. Because for the last... Well, I was going to say the last 4 years in terms of Rona, but long before that, you had the rights, particularly in politics in the United States, banging on about the First Amendment rights, free speech, freedom of protest, freedom of assembly, which I agree with completely, by the way.
Yeah.
And then the kids protesting are protesting against Israel. So the First Amendment's gone out the toilet. And actually, they've now passed a bill where it hasn't just been thrown out the toilet. It's literally been passed into law that it's gone out the toilet.
Yep, flushed.
You can't say lots of different... You can't criticise Israel, basically, is the whole point of it. You can't compare... This is in law. You can't compare the actions of Israel to the actions of the Nazis.
These aren't laws that you can even, how do I put it? You can't make people not do these things. You can't police these things. That's the word I'm looking for.
Well, what's bizarre about it is, you know, I'm not a religious man. Obviously, you know, I've got in trouble before about saying stuff about religion. And I actually got an email the other day from a guy, nice guy, to be fair, and he said, oh, I'll catch a few what-haves. So I'd probably just steer clear of religion if I were you, really. But I'm not a fan of it, and that's fine. It's my First Amendment right to not be a fan of it. But obviously, you've got these Christians saying, well, hang on. If it's illegal to say, basically, that, you know, that they killed Christ, then it's essentially illegal to read passages of the Bible. You've got the United States, which is supposed to be a Christian nation, fundamentally, that has made reading out sections of the Bible illegal so as to not piss off a country the size of someone's toenail 2,000 miles away. I mean, it's mad, isn't it?
It's mad if you think of it on that level. It makes total logical sense if you wanted those of the Islamic faith, the Christian faith, and the Jewish faith to fight each other. It makes total sense then.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's you know, I know people say that the whole, you know, letter talking about the three world wars was, you know, forged or whatever. There's loads of that stuff out there. It was only discovered after the second two world wars had happened. Therefore, you know, I get it. You know, whatever.
It mentioned the third one, though.
But it does mention the third one, and it does say, you know, the Islamic world will mutually destroy itself along with the Zionist endeavor. And I mean, it's being pushed that way, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it could be seen in many, many different ways. If you could see it as in the logical, I suppose, way, if you want to call it logical. Way of predictive programming, or in power of suggestion, you write it down and people bring it about because they think it's going to happen, and they start to poke at it and poke at it. You can see it from an even. I did an article today about remote viewing. So, and Yuri Geller was known for remote viewing. His background is as a Mossad agent, which I think most people know. But he openly talks about all his Ben Spooning stuff is all just a theatre. He's actually an intel agent. He talks about his psychic abilities and 9/11. He was actually in New York with Michael Jackson at the time, and he was apparently activated all his powers. But if you had psychic ability, if you have this ability to see in remote viewing, then you would be able to remote view other people's agendas and plans. So you would know these things about. And we see through the cartoons and through films and front covers of albums that they knew this was going to happen. But of course they did, because it was planned. But there might be another element that this stuff is very much real. You know, the CIA and places like Fort Meade and Fort Detrick, they were experimenting with these things. So I think people need to start to wake up and go, actually, whether we believe in this stuff or not, these intelligence agencies absolutely did. And then what they do later is they come out and go, no, we didn't find anything. We did experiments on it and nothing came of it. Well, that's bollocks. They've been working with these people for decades. So, you know, there's a lot more going on in this world than we think there is. And everything, people need to wake up to all these things that they think they're on the fringes of abilities and things for happening are absolutely the way the world works. It's just you've been completely shut off from it all your life. So this whole thing, at one point that you just pointed out, that, you know, like the whole protests at the colleges at the moment. One of them was at Columbia University. Now, I know from my research into Columbia University, that place is a hotbed for the Kabbalistic cult. It's got blue roofs, so the whole Shekinah protection thing is, it used to be an insane asylum, was built on those grounds. One of the buildings is still there. They have tunnels in Columbia University still. The tunnels are still there underneath Columbia University, which is New York, Manhattan, that area, which is a hotbed of tunnels, which is the Shabbat guys, Kabbalah again. But also they house the particle accelerator there. At one point, it was used in the Manhattan Project with Jack Parsons and all, Aleister Crowley and all of that lot. So this stuff, they pick these things, these places specifically to do these, like we were talking about, me and your dad yesterday, these rituals. So what you're seeing here with these, I have a thing of this professor said, a Jewish professor, whatever that means, you know, it's a faith to me. I find that kind of, what do you mean when you say Jewish professor? Is she a believer of the Jewish faith? I mean, it's not a, not it's a genetic thing, is it? But a Jewish professor at Columbia University, she said that basically it was absolutely fine for 24 hours until the higher-ups in the university called in the riot police and caused the trouble. Yeah. Now, we've seen this happen through COVID. You saw it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's their modus operandi. And that's why, as soon as, you know, it was clear that Soros was involved in expanding, because this is expanding the protests, you know, all the matching tents and all that stuff. That's the thing. It's what they realize. I did this in the monologue this week. The point I was making is, you know, if you can't defend the indefensible, you've murdered 16,000 kids. You can't defend that. You can't. Mm-hmm. Right.
33,000 total. But I think that's probably a Freemasonic code. And they've got gang.
But so what do you do? You know, there's going to be some kind of uprising against you for that, so you need to have some control over that. You know, you have to control both sides if you know that you can control the result. And I wonder if, as soon as I saw the Soros involvement, I did wonder. I was like, right, here we go. Are they going to put agent provocateurs in there then to cause trouble, to undermine the entire movement, so that everyone can go, oh, see, look, they're all hate-filled bastards? And it was interesting, because as soon as I was talking about that, I then saw an interview with a lady in America who was talking to, I think it was talking to Piers Morgan, actually, and was saying that, did you not see the footage of these two or three people coming in with like, you know, Palestinian dress, essentially, and then they started daubing this proper anti-Semitic stuff on the ground, and then people went running over to clear it up, like to get rid of it. It's like they've obviously been planted in there, that, you know, it's the fascist flag that was unfurled at the Trafalgar Square protest, anti-lockdown protest. You know, these things are all done on purpose. They're completely coordinated.
Absolutely.
It's, you know,
they co-opt and, it, and they, that's what saboteur means. They take it, they see something that's happening, they go in, they change it from within and co-opt it. That's exactly what they did. Done it with alternative media. Obviously the mainstream media was set up for that in the first place, but everything is always the same. The Jesuits did it to the Catholic Church. I mean, I've never believed in the Catholic religion, but when it first came along, like the whole Christian religion was nothing like what it's become today. Well, at its roots, there was an element of something good, I believe, but what it's become today is so far removed, like Satanism. It's inverted exactly what anything was supposed to mean in the first place. That's what they do. They go in and they invert it. They're Satanists. That's the principle of being a Satanist. You take something good and you turn it into the complete opposite, evil.
Yeah. And then they can just use that then to shut it down and crush it. And that's what they're doing. They're in the process of doing that. You know, it is insane that you've got kids of your own nation. Now, you don't need to necessarily agree with what they're protesting about. You can be as pro-Israel as you like. You can look at them and go, silly kids protesting, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. You're free to think that if you like. But the idea that you've got young people protesting the death of tens of thousands of people. And so you can then, because obviously people go, well, why are they bothered if they're in America? So, yeah, they're protesting because America is facilitating it. America is allowing it. America is funding it. You know, so they're not
also,
protesting.
It's a fucking horrible thing to be happening.
Well, exactly. And so then you go, okay, you've got a position that, so I support the idea that my government can send in basically thugs and stormtroopers and armed police to beat the shit out of the youth of my nation because they've been told to by a foreign state.
Mm.
I mean, that's insane.
Well, it's quite clearly happening. I've just seen something with, and I'll just quickly do this one while we get in because it just works. So I thought this was a Saturday Night Live. And I'm sure you've just seen this yourself. This scrawny little fellow, and I think his name is Thomas Cotton, Tom Cotton.
Oh, Tom Cotton.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, weed, complete weed. And he's on stage with a couple. I mean, it does look like a Saturday Night Live skit. It's so bad. But a guy couldn't, like, you know, not the top off a rice pudding. He is. And he's getting all tough on stage. It's really quite funny. So he calls these protesters that are protesting against, you said, 13,000 children and babies being killed. He calls them little Gazas. These little Gazas that are turning up at encampments protesting this. And he goes on to call them the Hamas supporters and freaks. How can he get away with that on stage? I mean, he needs to be... I mean, he'll go backstage there, and if he's got a word wrong, he'll be crying because Israel told him off.
He's also in the pocket of AIPAC for thousands of dollars.
I was just going to get to that. Yeah, I mean, I've got the funding here. Is Tom Cotton, what's the reason for AIPAC's 4.5 million support for the young senator? I think that's a bit of a... That's from 2018. That might be a bit overreach in terms of the amount, but it's there. You might be looking at less than that, but maybe not. I didn't have time to kind of look too deep into that, but 4.5 million.
AIPAC Watch had him on... I think it was about $135,000 in the last 12 months.
Right, okay. So, I mean, that might be the whole...
Quite a lot of money.
Yeah, whole money in terms of his whole campaign, for the campaign. Personally, yep. It might be 35, whatever you just said, for him. But regardless of the actual number, he's funded by these lunatics.
Yeah, he gets paid per tweet. Mike Pompeo is another one the same. Nikki Haley, or Shamar Ra, or whatever bloody name is.
Yes.
They're exactly the same. And this is what made me laugh as well, is that... AIPAC, which is an Israeli lobby group, which basically controls the US government, even though it's anti-Semitic to say that, they happily will admit and are open about the fact that they've got a $100 million war chest to ensure that pro-Israel candidates win in the 2024 election, right?
They're not Semitic. None of them are Semitic.
You look at that and you go, imagine if that was a Russian lobby group.
Oh, yeah.
Or an Iranian lobby group, or a Chinese lobby group, that there would be absolute freaking uproar. They would be going at, well, they did with Russia collusion and all that stuff, which turned out to be total nonsense. They went absolutely bonkers. Can you imagine that? You know, Russian AIPAC version, openly bold as brass, says, yeah, we're funneling $100 million, yeah, in to make sure that all the anti-Russian politicians don't get in.
Mm.
I mean, it's just mad, isn't it?
But the thing is, there would be uproar unless the mainstream media, like close to the uplead to that, started to kind of change the narrative. Because there's only uproar because the mainstream media, who most of them haven't got a clue what's going on, have been told to report it as a, you know, the Russia bad. But if they switched the narrative, totally, then it wouldn't be an uproar. And it's just, people are just following around going, oh, they're good guys, they're the bad guys. Oh, they're good now, they're bad now. I mean, people are going to grow the fuck up, quite frankly. Okay, all of them are being pulled the strings. And it's so blatantly obvious that they're all being pulled by the same funding, and the same people. And they're all connected. They even meet up, for fuck's sake.
Well, I saw a little meme the other day, which was funny. It was related to cloud seeding, I think, where someone was like, "Oh, I saw on the news that they're cloud seeding," and the other one goes, "Yeah, no, I told you about that like 2 years ago." And he goes, "Yeah, but you couldn't have known. It was only on the news today."
Yeah.
And that's how they are, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, you know, that's perfect. Yeah.
What I saw as well, though, which was, you know, again related to this. So I've seen lots of people going, you know, they're all wearing masks. It's because they're all hate filled. That's why they're hiding their faces. And you're like, well, some of them will probably be weird Rona types, almost certainly, because a lot of young people on the left in America are still weird Rona types. But a hell of a lot of them are hiding their faces because they know what happens if their identity is revealed. It will haunt them, right, in terms of the future. And so I saw this article where they were saying, I think it was in the Associated Press, they were saying that basically a lot of these young people are calling for an amnesty, and the fact that just because they protest, you know, the murder of civilians, that shouldn't necessarily mean it comes back on them in later life. I agree.
Of course you shouldn't.
Yeah, but then this guy, what's his name? Joe Levine. So, I mean, you know, he's a big pro-Israel guy, obviously. He quote tweeted it saying that no amnesty for these people. Lists have been made. And it's like...
I like how hard these people think they are, though.
Schindler or what? Like, can you even... Well, this is the point. Do you not hear what you're saying or, what you know, read what you're typing and how fucked up that is?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you can't, you know, compare one person's actions with another person's actions because it's racist and anti-Semitic or whatever bollocks. But the fact is, you are making lists just as other people made lists. It was fucked up. And so what you're basically saying with that is that further down the line, say 10, 15 years' time, that an employer is going to look and go, right, you know, you come in for the job. Well, did you protest genocide? Yeah, I did, yeah. I can't have you working here then.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to have you working here. In an unfair world, I'd love to have you because you qualify for the job. You're massively experienced and I like you and we get on and you're my brother. But because you protested there, it'll just, the optics for the company, it looked terrible. That's what it'll be.
That's the thing that really gets me, though, is the hatred and the vitriol towards these people that are protesting. Now, you know, they're not blocking, like the climate lot, they're not blocking roads into hospitals and shit. They're literally on campus, right? So they're not creating fucking havoc for the wider public, stopping pregnant women getting, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just,
and for me, I see it as a win. I honestly see it as a win because there's not a lot of good coming from the youth, unfortunately, because they've been completely indoctrinated with all this woke alphabet mafia, you know, fucking censorship bullshit. You can't say that, hurts my feelings. Nonsense, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at them thinking, Jesus, mate, when you're adults in 15 years, fuck.
Well, it's going to get even harder if they don't.
It's going to get even worse, yeah. But then I'm looking, I'm going, but they're anti-genocide. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing. Imagine in 10, 15 years' time, you had a woke alphabet mafia, pro-censorship, genocide lover. That would be even worse. So I'm taking the victory. I'm going, well, good.
There's a dating app in there somewhere, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it goes on. I'll just do this one before we move on then. Mike Law come out and said some nonsense, and I think and he's he's about all of this stuff, so he's funded by APAC. So he's standing. So today he did a video, it went out about 20 hours ago. Congressman Mike Law, he's standing, by the way, outside of the Congress building, which is built obviously at the Capitol Hill, which is right in the middle of the bloody Moloch owl, if you look from the top down. So the symbolism is everywhere. Right in the Mary. Did you know that Washington was called Rome, Maryland originally? And it was owned.
I know it's called Rome. No.
Yeah, it was called Rome, Maryland originally. And it was owned, and get this, by a guy called Francis Pope, the land.
Wow.
Yeah. Honestly, they have to do it symbolically. They've got to. This is their. So that's where all the signs are. You mean, you just find it, and it's like, it's because it's a cult. Anyway, he says, I'm proud that my bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, just passed the House of Representatives 320-91. This bill is, because you own them all. this bill has broad bipartisan support, or it would do because you own both sides, and will begin the process of cracking down on the anti-Semitism we've seen run rampant on college campuses across America. Well, this guy, Mike Law, is funded by AIPAC to the tune of $116,326. Was it worth $116,000? You can't even buy a house around here for that, mate. For you to bitch yourself out to the pro-Israel lobby, because now you're in their pocket for the rest of their life, and now you're out. So you're outside a satanic building built on satanic grounds, the whole Roman satanic empire that's been going on for fucking thousands of years, and now built Washington DC in a place called Rome, Maryland, on their grounds in a Moloch the Owl, and you've just sold your whole life out for the sake of $116,000. Possibly you've got more, but who cares? They own them all. Anti-Semitism, again, it doesn't even make any sense. Because the real sickness that winds me up is that the real Semitic people are the ones who are getting bloody killed.
Does he look like a crab or a lobster?
He looks like more like a lobster than a crab. But
it's just his name. As soon as you said his name.
What, Mike Lawler?
Oh, sorry, I thought you said his surname was Law. I heard Mike Law, and I was just thinking of Mike Law.
Well, he's got a brother called Mike Hunt. Might have to cut that out. Fuck it. Yeah, so, yeah, that was it. It's all, they're obviously going for this nonsense at the moment, but it's desperate. Desperate measures, yeah. Isn't it? Because the more they do this, the more they reveal themselves, there ain't enough of them. So what they're doing is they're kind of like bringing themselves together, spouting the whole same nonsense, but they're getting closer and closer and clearer and clearer. The picture's getting more and more clear, and there isn't enough of them. People are going to be surrounding them, pointing at them very, very... They are now already. And that they are like crabs in a boiling pot, aren't they? Really?
Good link.
Thank you.
Sadiq Khan, right? By the time this airs, we don't know if he's won the mayoral ship of London again, probably, or not. But this was his tweet, right? This made me laugh. So the Labour Party, this is for the Mayor of London, the Labour Party, it's always between Labour and Conservative, isn't it, if we're honest? Like, no one else really has a look in. So the Conservative Party have put forward someone called Susan Hall, right? And obviously the Labour Party has put through Sadiq Khan, who is the current Mayor of London. Now, this is, right, they've all been tweeting this as well. This is their campaign. Before you give her an X, read her X. Right. What? So before you give her an X, as in vote for her, read her X, i.e. Twitter. Oh, right.
I thought you were talking about their ex-girlfriends, boyfriends. I thought, do some digging.
Well, they've done some digging and they found some horrific stuff, Rich. Right. So he starts off this tweet with the, police siren. So it must be serious. Susan Hall is the most dangerous candidate I've ever faced.
No.
Right. Before you give her an X, read her ex, a thread, right? As always with Sadiq Khan, he doesn't accept replies. But so I'm thinking, oh God, how bad is it then? Because she's the most dangerous candidate he's ever faced. These must be some pretty bad tweets. I'll read them out for you. Tweet number one. Come on, Donald Trump, make sure you win.
Is that the whole tweet?
That's the whole tweet, right? This is the next tweet. Nigel Farage should be treated with respect.
I'm worried. Go on.
Well, what made me laugh to that was then Nigel Farage sort of quote tweeted it, obviously because he can't reply because Sadiq doesn't have replies on, saying, what do you mean by this? What level of disrespect would be enough for you? Do you know what I mean? Okay, so let's see. It's got to get worse though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Please don't ever mistake me for a BLM supporter.
These are the most polite tweets, aren't they? She must be one of the sweetest little ladies going, I'm a bit bothered by this.
I like the idea that she's out to tweet it because someone has mistaken her for a BLM supporter. Right, next one. There's no institutional racism in the Met. Right. This is the one that got me. She's a climate change denier. Right. So all she's tweeted is net zero needs to be delayed. That's it. That's the tweet, right? But this is the one that gets me. And doesn't consider herself a feminist.
Is that what he put? That was his add-on?
Yeah, because she tweeted, "I don't think of myself as a feminist."
What the
Right,
fuck
that's
is
it. That's the thread, Rich. That they're the six tweets that make her the most dangerous politician he's ever faced.
Jesus, I mean,
they're
gonna write
geez.
Books about this woman, aren't they? They're gonna write books. I mean, I've got books about the Nazis and the occult here, the craft. I've got books about Jesuits and the better. They're gonna write volumes about this lady.
I mean, they're all arseholes, Rich, aren't they? Of course they are. I'm sure she's a complete arsehole. But if that's the worst you can find...
She's the most polite arsehole I've ever met, though.
I mean, it's just... What nothingness. What absolute nothingness. So she wanted Donald... So she's a right-wing politician who wanted a right-wing politician to win. Fucking shock. She is a right-wing politician who wants another right-wing politician to be treated with respect as opposed to have milkshake shakes chucked at him. Shock. She doesn't support BLM, who at the time were rioting and setting fire to shops in London. Quell surprise. She doesn't think there's institutional racism in the Met, which a lot of people don't believe there is either, given the fact that it's a completely multicultural police force. That's a clue. Net zero needs to be delayed. It doesn't. It needs to be scrapped. And the fact that she doesn't think of herself as a feminist is her right. Like, who gives a shit? It's extraordinary, isn't it?
The best he could... That just looks terrible on him, though. Does
oh, it
he,
does, though. It
does
looks
he
appalling.
Not look at this and go... Because I don't know if he's doing his own tweets. I doubt it. But does he not look at them and go, is that the best that we got? Is that the best we can come up with? But we have to do real ones. Could we not just get Elon Musk to go in there? He's our mate. And just make some up and post them from 2017.
it's insane, though, isn't it? It just made me laugh because it's like, that's what you've got, is it? that's not the smoking gun you think it is, Sadiq. And I tweeted it when I saw it. I was like, if he thinks that's dangerous, wait till he sees his crime stats.
Well, he won't look at them. He's never going to look at them. Speaking of Elon Musk, obviously, if anyone's still on the fence with him, on the Skylink fence, he's tweeted out another bit of Saturn symbology or satanic symbology to show you he's clearly on the side of Satan. He's put the Tesla, appropriated the Tesla name, logo inside of a upside down pentagram. So the pentagram.
Loves it.
With don't mess with round the side. So obviously it's don't mess with Satan. And he's tweeted out nothing. He hasn't said anything in the tweet, like nothing in the description. Just an upside down Baphomet pentagram. Pentagram with his logo in the middle. And it's obviously taken at an angle where it's supposed to be upside down. You could have took that at any angle. This is taken at a specific angle, as your dad said to me, to show that this is an inverted pentagram. He's a Satanist. So,
well, he did dress up like one, didn't he?
He did. He dressed up as, I think, so first I thought he was dressing up as Baphomet, but when he looked into it a little bit more, it seemed to be like the god of Mars. But then he had the inverted Christ, the cross, upside down cross in the middle of it. So, yes, he absolutely was. And it probably was Baphomet related as well. So he had a bit of Mars in there, a bit of Baphomet in there, and he had a bit of Snickers in there. And people will go, well, Baphomet originally wasn't a bad thing. No, most of these things weren't until they were co-opted and twisted a little bit and changed. But I'm sure the original Baphomet wasn't sitting there with his pants down, cross-legged, holding a fucking couple of snakes. Out of wank. Like, I don't know if that's true, that bit. Do your own research. But this is he's blatantly... Have you seen that, haven't you? You must have seen that.
Yeah.
The pentagram, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Come on, guys. I mean, how long do you have to carry on with these dipshits before you start to sort of, like, give up on them?
People love him, though, don't they? He's another Trump. What gets me is...
He definitely is.
Is the... All the people, thanking him. People that are supposed to be kind of quite street smart going, thank you so much for giving me a free speech platform. It's like, mate, people are shadow banned to fuck and people get kicked off here all the time. It's not a free speech platform. And they give it the whole, it's freedom of speech, not freedom of reach. Well, if you're stopping reach, if you're stopping people's tweets getting out to people,
yeah.
That's the same as denying free speech, isn't it?
course it is, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
If I put on a concert and, like, I've got some really important messages in my songs and I sit there and then you stand at the door and stop, not let anyone come in who might want to come in, then,
yeah
is the effect's the same.
That's the thing. It's fucking mad. Sorry, I was just making sure my phone wasn't going to go off.
And you are on X actually just singing into an empty hall sometimes, other than the people who originally got in before they realised you put the concert on.
Well, Josh Sigginson is shadow banned to hell, man.
Mm.
Big time.
Yeah.
He is, yeah.
I don't see his stuff very often.
Mine doesn't seem too bad. My Instagram's ridiculous. Like, I am so shadow banned on Instagram. It's freaking mad. But I knew I was anyway, because I remember when we were filming The Walk and I tried to do an Instagram live in one section and it basically went, nah, mate, you can't go live because you're dangerous.
Oh, it's because you've been tweeted out stuff like about the... Sadiq Khan has been having a look. Yeah, well, no one knows who I am. So, like, I think mine's just that the fact that, you know, it's such weird stuff that I tweet out that most people are like, I don't really understand that. I need to go backwards before I go forwards.
It beats the algorithm because the algorithm goes, I don't know what the fuck he's on about.
just stick it in the fuck it off list. Yeah. I think what have we got here? Gone. What's your next one?
Mate, this blew my mind, right? So I was downstairs and I'm sat there chomming on a seafood pasta reheated, which I didn't heat through properly. So let's see how it goes later.
That's specific.
And I saw this news story come up, right? So obviously there's this horrendous sword attack that's happened. This guy's gone mad with a sword in London, I think, and he's killed a bunch of people, one of them being a 14-year-old boy. And it's quite a tragic story because basically he's walking down the street, this boy, and he's got his headphones in, and the police were shouting to try and get his attention to don't go there, don't go there. And obviously he can't hear him because he's got headphones in, right? And he was stabbed. 14-year-old child, right? Because, you know, a 14-year-old is a child. Right, his name has been named today, right, as Daniel Angerin. Angerin, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, right? Daniel Angerin, 14-year-old kid. So... what do you think the Sun newspaper, which is the scummiest rag of all of them, and that's saying something, Rupert Murdoch owned, what do you think they referred to that 14-year-old child, Daniel Angerin, as? What do they refer to him as?
Oh, I dread to think. Islamic extremist or something stupid like that.
Sword boy.
Fucking hell. Even I wouldn't have got that.
Sword boy. Sword boy, 14, fucking sword boy. I mean, honestly, and it takes a lot to shock me, especially like nowadays, because everything's bonkers. But even I went, oh, fucking God, they've called him fucking sword boy.
Fucking hell.
What level? And it's on the front page, mate.
Let me have a look at this.
So what level of, because editors signed off on that.
Thick editors. I can't find it, but I did see something, because I didn't know about what you just said. We went to Tesco's earlier where Arthur had another meltdown.
I tweeted it earlier.
And then I saw something on the front page of the paper, but I didn't grasp really what it was about. So is he an African American little boy?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's just insane.
So what was this about the guy? What was up with the guy then? Obviously, he's just a mentalist who's gone mental with
a sword. Yeah, just a lunatic, yeah. Well, you say that, you never know, do you? Do you know what I mean?
Well, you don't know. Well, I'm just wondering, they're going to try and tie it to something.
Well,
they usually weaponize it.
What I found very strange was, I mean, I always find it strange. Whenever, you know, there's a horrendous attack and people get killed, you get ghouls on the right or on the far right or whatever. I don't know what that fucking means anymore. But whatever, they jump immediately on, it's definitely a Muslim. People like Rachel Riley, who claims to be anti-racist and sits on the board of the Centre for Countering Digital Hate when actually fucking full of hate. But again, inversion, they always jump on it and go fucking Muslim. And then it turns out to be not a Muslim. And then they just scuttle back because that's what they do. But I saw the opposite side of that, which I find equally extraordinary. Which was lots of people then going, yes, look at this, Tommy Robinson, look at this, Katie Hopkins, he's white. It's like, okay, mate, like, that you're equally weird. If you've gone, right, sword attack kills child, fuck, right, what colour is he? Yes!
So, what? Sorry, the boy's not white, though, is he?
No, the boy's not, but the killer's white. So that is, they're punching the air about that.
So, sorry, they're gloating at Tommy Robinson saying, you're full of shit because this guy's white. And you're saying it's all Muslim. So, fuck's sake.
It's just as bad as each other. It's just,
yeah.
Okay, how about we just take a step back and have some empathy and realise that kid's dead, right? Kind of doesn't fucking matter what colour the guy is that's done it. He's a fucking proper wrong'un. What, he could be dressed like Tin Man from fucking whatever.
Wizard of Oz.
That's the one. I almost said From the Yellow Brick Road, which would have been close. That's but
a good album by Elton John.
It's... Well, he's not there anymore, is he? He's left it. Wrote a song about it.
Elton John? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
It was called Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
It was called Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Yeah, it was a good album. Weird album. Brownstone Cowboy was weird. I was like, well, where's he brown? Like, where's the brown come from? Or Brown Cow... I don't know, something brown. It sounded something.
Oh, no, Brown Cow.
Poo related going on there with the cowboy thing. I thought it was a bit Brokeback Mountain. Anyway, back to the story. We've lost it now.
That is the story. That's literally it, mate. I'm rarely shocked, but even I did a squeegee my eyes job and then looked again that they've called him Sword Boy. I mean, Jesus wept, man.
It's just, and the fact that people have jumped on it like that and tried to weaponize it. This is the state. This is what social media does. And it does it to all of us. You really have to watch yourself. That, like, I've had it in the past. I've just got to don't comment. For fuck's sake, what good is it going to do you to comment on this? The other person's talking shit. What good? And you have to stop yourself. And I'm sure everybody has that same feeling. That fucking why? Because now I'm going to look at this for the next 20 minutes and wait for someone to piss me off so I can piss them off back. And then I'm going to spend all night just pissing each other off. And like, what a waste of time. And that's really what X does, and it is a kind of satanic app in that way, more than any others. Facebook used to be a bit like that, but now it's less so, although I don't use it very often.
No, I don't either, so it's hard to tell.
But
I'm the same, X though. My finger circles the big red button every now and then, and I just know...
like Joe Biden's.
Stop being tempted, mate, because you're literally going to just fuck it.
For a second, you get that hit. But it's like you'll fuck your whole night up because it's like, what's the point? Like, even when I put a bit of information out, like I'll put, and I'm just putting information out to people just to look at it. I'll just find this interesting, look at that. I put one out today about the Brahmin being the Abraham Cup. Could have possibly come, got a book up here, read about it, come from the Brahma, which was the top level of the Hindu caste system. It looks like that person they called Abraham may have been one of these priest class. That's where they got the name from. And someone's like, but you can't understand that the Hindu caste system till you understand the original version of it and how it's been inverted. Well, I can. Also, like, no matter what you do, someone's always going to try and one-up you every time. And it's like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
What's the point? Because I could get to choose what I believe anyway. And I just,
that's
it's
dangerous, though.
Oh yeah, well, that's true. That is true. But yeah, it's just that it's a cesspit, really. It really is. Even when you're just putting out information. Like the wrestling. You wouldn't believe the amount of bitching and nasty stuff that goes on in pro wrestling comments and
Do you get the bread and circuses shit for saying you're into wrestling then?
No, I don't. But I don't think anyone cares what I'm doing. Honest.
Well, they don't care.
I haven't got to that level yet, mate. But no, I don't. Not about that. But I mean, again, I'll say, well, don't shout at me curtains. If you don't like me curtains, scroll on by.
Scroll on by.
This one made me laugh. It's just some of the wording in this. Chris Packham's BBC series warning of mass extinction by CO2 is propaganda.
It's propaganda.
I don't know why I said it like that. It really made me laugh. But what made me laugh was some of the wording that he came out with. So last year, Chris Packham's hosted a 5-part series on BBC called Earth. Get rid of the rest. Fuck it.
What do you want to call it?
Earth. You're not really trying, are you, Chris? Which
we need 2 more series. What do you want to call them?
It's an album in here. which compared a mass extinction event 252 million years ago to the small rise in atmospheric carbon dioxide seen in the last 150 years. But what? It's a fucking jump, isn't it? It's like anything. 252 million years ago. By the way, look, none of this can be proven. Like, this is just having a bit of a guess, isn't it? So it was an hour of it. But what made me laugh was this quote. Was it? This is from Chris. Think of all that suffering and wastage, humans. He says about the fourth great mass extinction. So apparently there was three more before. I don't think we want a comparable extinction to the one that happened 252 million years ago on our conscience.
It's like, it won't matter.
I weren't really thinking about it, Chris, to be honest. And it's 252 million years ago, mate. You got to let things go. You got to get over, you know, let it go. Get over things.
What do you mean by wastage as well?
Well, that's it. He's seeing humans as commodities, isn't he?
He really is.
Yeah, wastage. God, we could have used those.
Ugh.
God, especially those Chinese ones. They were good with their hands. Of course, Packham is not the first person to politicise the end Permian extinction, when most plants and animal life disappeared to be replaced eventually with what became known as the dinosaurs. So this is before fucking humans. Although I don't think it was, but you know, in the Jurassic Park narrative. As we can see from the graph below, skin graph. Even though they extinct, I know that's not the same word, but just made me laugh. Even though the extinction event coincided with an uptick in CO2 levels, the general trend over 600 million year period was downwards towards the end. So basically, what just made me laugh about that was the fact that he's like still harking on about 252 million years ago. Do you imagine that going? Gonna go and get a new car this week. What are you getting? I'm gonna get a Mazda again. Oh, do you remember when you? When your great 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 grandad got a Mazda. Vaguely. You know? And the lights, the indicators didn't work, did they? You don't want to repeat that shit.
250 million year old Mazda.
There's the title.
A lot can happen in. It's like, reminds me of the Busted song.
Yeah.
Welcome to the year 3000. Right, okay, well, that's, you know, 1,000 years basically. Not much has changed. That we live underwater.
It's a fucking time.
Pretty fucking big change, that. Pretty big change. And then he goes, and your great, great, great granddaughter is pretty fine. Okay, so if it's only four generations then, in 1,000 years, they've got an average age of 250 years old. So we're living to an average of 250 years old and looking pretty fine.
And looking pretty fine.
Whilst living underwater. Not much has changed.
Because I'm 43 and I look like shit right now with a burning red eye. And we don't even live underwater yet, although I'm on the coast, so we've probably got another 60 years. But fucking hell. It's amazing, isn't it? I love that. That's imagine the lyric room. That song's done really well. It's not.
It did great. It's catchy as hell.
It's catchy as hell. It's not historically correct, is it? No.
But you don't know. It's the future, man.
Well, yeah, but 1,000 years. Well, that's it. But a lot has changed. It's that part we have problem with. Don't we? We don't have a problem with them things.
Yeah, that's true. Living underwater, that is. That's quite big, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Ghislaine Maxwell, but right? All these pedos have got submarine licenses, maybe.
Submarine license. I must admit, actually, because you've got that sort of blue, sort of like rugby top with a t shirt underneath and the little red emblem on the top, it is a bit sort of Jeffrey Epstein outfit, really.
How the fuck have you come to that conclusion?
Because he in a lot of his photos, he's wearing that outfit, isn't he?
Well, the exact same one as Richard Willett.
Pretty much.
Well, that's a fucking swing and a miss.
let me find it. I want to put it in the chat.
Thank you for that. Oh, right. I'll have a better think then.
There he is. I can see him here.
Go on, then. Let me have a look at this. Let me see if I can get in the chat.
He's such a dark motherfucker, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's probably still alive somewhere.
Look at him.
He probably runs a clothes shop in Norfolk.
I think he runs that fucking puppet thing in Norfolk.
He's a puppet man. I told you about the puppet man. Drop off spot for intel or drugs. I'm not quite sure which one yet.
Or human trafficking.
Go and tell the puppet man.
Let me put this in the chat.
When he finally passes away, because he has been alive for about 300 years. the people are going to know that he was a drop. That's the drop-off point for Intel, and everybody's going to turn around and go, "Do you know that Richard Willett who dresses like Jeffrey Epstein? He was right."
Do you know what's funny? You know, last week I flicked the chat on and I started laughing because there was that fucking dead guy.
I've seen it.
In the bank.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I've just opened it again to send you this Jeffrey Epstein image, and all I've seen is that woman with her boobs out and crutches. You know, the one that was shouting at, what's his face?
Yeah, the woman who was chatting at Piers Morgan about being attacked by Alec Baldwin, and she just literally, what did she have? Her top pulled up. She had plasters over her
weird
nipples and
a neck brace. A
neck brace, and her arm broke. And she was on crutches. Yeah.
Apart
from that. Yeah. All right, and I'll show you that. Well, I can see it now. Oh, it's the hairy bit that I haven't got.
Oh man, it's not a. It's what look are you going for?
Oh, I saw that. Do you want to
hear me out? Hear me out.
I'm going out tonight. Traffic's bad. Can we, what are you going for? Well, can you put salt and pepper in my hair a bit, please? Can you stick a little, have you got one of those, like, top merkins for it? A little bit of hair. Shirt like this. Oh, I've got a picture. Is that Jeffrey Epstein? Just do your job.
That would be, do you know what? That would be funny as, like, a secret camera prank. Because I've done it before where I've gone into a hairdresser's and the guy's like, "What can I do for you, mate?" And I'm like, yeah, mate. And I'll show him a picture. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, sound. Yeah, I like that. That suits you. Yeah." And imagine if you just went, "Just going for that, mate." And it's like Gary Glitter or something.
Oh, mate, this is a series.
Do you reckon?
Let's do. Yeah.
Oh, I kind of, I'm going for that, if that's all right. Who's that? Is that... That's Harold Shipman.
Most people wouldn't know. You'd have to do like Epstein, and you'd have to do Savile. I've got got a marathon coming up, and I'm looking for some gear to get. Like, I need to something that's easy to be to chase around. I mean, there's a mixture of people in there. There's young kids, older adults, dead people. I need to be able to chase some people around the middle of London. You got anything I can wear? I'm thinking something along those lines. There's just a picture of Savile winning the Olympics of paedophiles in London.
He didn't win, he used to run the London Marathon, didn't he?
I think he used to run until the cameras went off, and then he got in like a car, and then he got driven to another bit and they filmed it again. Very much doubt. Look at him. The northern wind would have took him out.
Little spindly legs like fucking Uncle Albert.
He's not the most trustworthy, is he? You know, if you looked at his ex, imagine Twitter was around when Savile was alive. Fucking hell.
You see those old videos of Savile, he was not hiding anything, man.
No.
At all. You know, gives me the fucking creeps.
Have we got any more?
A couple. So, again, this sort of goes back to the original conversation about Israel and owning the media, which is anti-Semitic to say, despite it being true. So Sangeeta Musker, if I'm saying that right, is an LBC presenter. And so she is interviewing a guy from an Israeli spokesman of some description about the Iranian consulate attack. Mm. And he's obviously lying because that's what they do. And she takes him to the cleaners, right? And then suddenly she's not there for her show the next day. And then she's not there for her show the next day and the next day. And it goes on. And so, you know, people start to ask questions. And so LBC's got rid of her, right?
Wow.
And so to be fair to Katie Hopkins, right, who is obviously very pro-Israel, she used to work at LBC, so she knows people there. And she did a big rampage tweet about the fact that they'd got rid of her because they'd got word from on high to get rid of her, right? So who runs LBC?
Well, yeah, so surely Katie herself would know who on high is.
Yeah, exactly. So all the other presenters have just been told to keep their mouth shut. Otherwise, they'll lose the job. So obviously, cowardly little people that they are, they've all kept their mouth shut. James O'Brien, Rent a Gob, has gone on today saying that LBC has never fired or silenced any presenter over the coverage of Israel-Gaza. Literally just fired someone, mate. And And do you know what makes it even more fucking crazy, right? Or rather, not crazy, is you remember the anti-Semitism crisis that wasn't a crisis, that they basically completely concocted to make sure that Jeremy Corbyn didn't become prime minister,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
So you had, it was run by the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, Gideon Falter, just happened to be crossing the road.
Yep.
And there's a photo of them all carrying the banner at the front as they're marching through London, like, oh, fuck, we're all fucking being abused. And up front and personal, right there, holding the banner at the front, is Vanessa Feltz.
Yeah,
right?
Fuzzy Feltz.
Fuzzy Feltz, big, obviously pro-Israeli. And that's who they've replaced this lass with.
No.
So they've not only got her, they've not only fired her for calling a liar, but they've replaced her with someone who is rabidly pro-Israel. It's honestly, it's on the knees with the balls on the chin. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Which would be how I picture Fuzzy Feltz most days. That is embarrassing. It's getting too blatantly obvious even for their own good now, though, isn't it? That just shows how desperate they are, a lot of them. And then you have to, unfortunately, the alternative media is riddled with it. And totally riddled with it. And I think in the end game, not the end times, don't be stupid, that's just nonsense. The end game for these lot, they've run out of time. They ain't got there. And they're desperately thrashing around with this total bollocks. You could not tell, was it 6 billion people on the planet to like something when they don't want to? It's only going to get worse for you. That's not how the world works. That's not how reality works. So they're batting a losing game. They ain't got long left. They really haven't got long left. You, so I'm quite positive about it, to be honest.
You can't massacre tens of thousands of people, including 16,000 kids, and still pretend to be the victim.
Well,
that,
no.
That shit doesn't work. No. What I found funny, just a final one actually, is because you've mentioned alternative media, the Daily Wire, right?
Yeah.
So obviously when Candice left the Daily Wire because she was calling out Israel, and obviously the squeaky toddler Shapiro doesn't like that, so she left. And then everyone was saying, you know, you need to have a debate, you should debate each other, Shapiro and Candice. Candice is saying more than happy to do it. Ben Shapiro is saying there, we'll do it, but we do it here and blah, blah. And they're creating the terms of the game. It's very public kind of spat back and forth. To be fair, she's biting a lot less than him. And so that is the public version. Right?
Yes,
so
the
public version is, we want to have a debate. We want to get together so that we can thrash it out and I can prove how fucking wrong she is. Right. Mm-hmm. And all Ben Shapiro would ever do, because it's all he ever does when he debates people, although he doesn't debate people, he debates confused teenagers generally on campus, is he just speaks really fast.
Yeah.
Which is completely part of it. Because he throws people off. And the faster you speak, it makes you sound more intelligent than you are, because it's like he obviously knows what he's talking about. Look, he's not even breathing. But so it transpires all the while. Glenn Greenwald has exposed this in an article today. The Daily Wire, while publicly trying to arrange this debate, filed for a gagging order and obtained it on Candice Owens.
Right. A gagging order to pertain to what? What can she not say about what?
Well, to talk about her time at the Daily Wire, right. Other people at Daily Wire, all this stuff. Basically, anything that would come out in a debate when you're debating with someone. It's like saying to me, right, I want to debate you about your time working with me, but there's a gagging order on you saying anything about the time you worked with me.
Was that the debate they were going to have, the time at the Daily Wire?
Well, it would have been. The debate was about Israel, but it obviously would have gone back and forth in whatever way.
Because those gagging orders usually, these agreements are usually, that happens as an agreement before you start a company. Like that's an early thing that goes in there. They're normal, but they're not called gagging orders. They're just like literally like a confidential order.
Well, it would be an NDA.
But not when once you've left and walked away from the fucking thing.
Well, exactly. But it's just funny, isn't it, how you have that public image of we're free speech, we're correct, we'll have you on a debate, while in the back door you're getting your overpaid, fancy suited lawyers to try and shut up the person you're meant to be public debate.
I think at another level of that, perhaps we should keep an eye on the fact that she's just converted to Catholicism, and this one especially, Catholicism, and see that maybe that they're controlling both sides of that at one level, because I think.
Oh, mate, that's the Iran, and it answers to the same as Israel. They're all the same, mate.
Exactly, and I think we kind of keep that in mind. Whether she'll know it, but whether she thinks she's got more freedom than she has until she's you know, they throw some allegations at her like they do with most people if they step out of line. Russell Brand being one. She's gone off into that whole protection of Christianity, and we see this Judaism being pitted against Christianity with the fact that every can't even say that the Jews killed Jesus in the storybook anymore because that's anti-Semitic. I mean, that's just gaslighting. So it's all, do you know what I mean? It's all leading to something. I'm not saying that these people understand. I think Ben Shapiro absolutely does. He's right in the pocket of Netanyahu, who's in the pocket of these Sabbateans. I'm not saying Candace Owens is as much as involved as that, but the game is rigged.
Yeah, of course it is.
So we just need, everything is part of the game. And I know that sounds really like fucking hell, but we're not, you're not, and millions of others are not. Their game is their game. The real trick is getting us to play their fucking game.
Oh, that's the point. It's the game is rigged, and people hear that and go, oh, we can't fucking do anything. So no, you just kick over the table.
Yeah, fuck it off. I'm not doing it
It's
anymore.
As simple as that.
Another of us go, I'm not playing it anymore. That's the trick, and that's why they want to divide us all. Because the only thing is, there's enough of us. It ain't that many. Go, I'm not playing it anymore. It stops, and that's the real. That's what terrifies them. And one day, hopefully, in our lifetime, people will wake up to that. But that's what we're trying to do, isn't it?
I hope so, mate.
I hope so.
Do you know, I'm up at 5 a.m. right to be at my mate Phil's house by 5:30. So we're going away for like 2.5 days, and we're filming 13 episodes of The Walk in 2.5 days.
Fucking
right,
good luck.
Including kayaking across 126-foot aqueduct. Not at all terrifying. We're going in lead mines. We're going in gold mines in Wales, which is mad. We've got people showing us around. He sorted all of this. This guy is amazing. But another thing, I'm only mentioning it because you mentioned the Manhattan project
mate,
earlier,
of course, yeah.
Is he's got us in what used to be a mustard gas factory, right? I didn't, in during the Second World War, I didn't even realize we were producing mustard gas. I thought that was a German thing. That they then used this facility to test nuclear reactors and X, Y, and Z that then went on to then become the Manhattan project. And we've got a guy letting us in and showing us around. There's all these underground railways and stuff. It's mad.
It's all connected. It's all connected.
You might never see me again, actually.
Well, let's see it. I'll be careful, for fuck's sake. This show don't
it's amazing.
Work on its own.
Like, in terms of the history, it's incredible. That's in Wales, that is, as well.
Yeah. Well, we went down one, didn't we? And it was incredible.
Mate,
it sounds great. Where can people see your the walk?
It's just youtube.com/@IkeWalks. It's an at symbol, then Ike
so
Walks.
Just put
yeah.
Ike Walks into YouTube. Yeah.
Just whack it. And yeah, some of them are. I'm trying to get a little bit more sort of quirky stuff.
Well, I've seen that you're doing having a more conspiratory edge to the latter videos, which I think is a really good idea because you've got that knowledge
just
as well.
Much stuff. Yeah, there's. You know what I mean? Like, what's funny, Rich, is like Gemma said to me, like, you need something that's away from this sort of stuff just because you love walking anyway. Why don't you do that? So I started doing it. And then it didn't take long for me to see Victorian Engineering. And then I started going down a little rabbit hole. Well, I've not gone down it. I've poked at it.
Yeah.
About the fact that they weren't using normal tech, man. These guys.
It is such. That's a really like a unique take on what we do. Why not? This you are, mate. Like, I'd write about this stuff anyway. Where can people get their CBD from?
They can head over to supremecbd.uk. Use the code, the promotional code, WTAF at checkout, and if they do that, they'll get 40% off whatever they've purchased.
Awesome, and we will see you in a week's time. You're on iconic.com.
Yes, mate. Have a great weekend, bank holiday weekend in the UK. Yeah. Enjoy it.
You be safe.
Really enjoy it. Could be your last.
Oh, really?